Shalom. In this shiur, I'd like to talk about Noach after the Mabul, after the flood, and what happened to him and the reaction of his children, and the repercussions of their reactions to their lives and to future generations. The Torah tells us in Bereshit chapter 9 that after the flood, Noach planted a vine. He made wine and drank. He got drunk. Vayitgal betocho alo, and he became gal in his tent. The word vayitgal has two possible translations. One is that he was uncovered from galo, galui, uncovered. That is, that he was naked. Another is that he was rolling. From Golel, that he was rolling around, or in other words, he was stark raving drunk. He was so drunk that he paid no attention to what he was doing. He wasn't wearing clothes. He was rolling around. He was a mess. And the Torah goes on and says that Cham, his son, saw him there. He saw his father's nakedness. And he told his two brothers, who were outside the tent. And the two brothers, Shem and Yefet, took some sort of garment, and they put it on their shoulders and walked backwards into the room so that they would not look at their father. And they covered their father with the garment, and when they did so and they had to turn around in order to throw the garment on Noach, they kept their faces averted so that they wouldn't see their father, and they didn't. And when Noach woke up and he became sober and he realized what had happened and what Cham had done to him, the Torah doesn't make clear that Cham did anything more than seeing and snitching, apparently Noach felt defiled by the actions of Cham. According to the Midrash, Cham actually assaulted Noach, and Noach cursed Cham and blessed his other two sons. That's the basic storyline. A couple of minor points, and then I think a very central idea has to be expressed in this parsha. Cham saw his father, did nothing about it, told his brothers. He acted in no way to diminish his father's embarrassment, but rather spread the word that here our father is acting in a manner that is absolutely disgusting. That's it's in contradiction to everything that he has done and taught. The two brothers acted in concert. Shem and Yefet acted the same. Yet in the verse 23, it says Vayikach Shem v'Yefet et Shimla. Simla, Shem and Yefet took the garment. The word vayikach, took, is written in the singular. So our rabbis teach us that although Shem and Yefet acted together, but one of them was dominant. Shem was the one who led the way. He was the one who pushed Yefet, who brought Yefet along to help him cover the father in a way that would be the least destructive, the least embarrassing, that they wouldn't see him. By doing it together, they expressed both the idea that they could more easily cover Noach without looking with him, and they also expressed the idea that most of Noach's children were loyal. If only one had done the act, then it would be one against one and one abstaining, whereas by two of them doing it, it was also a statement that Noach's children, at least the majority of the children, were respectful. But the question that I would like to examine is what exactly is it about shame, and how is it that shame was more respectful? What did he have and what did he do that indicated his superior positioning in this act of showing their father respect, even at a time when the father was acting in a much less than respectful manner? There is a midrash which Rashi quotes, which I think can shed indirectly a tremendous amount of light on this question. The midrash on Rashi's comment, or on the comment that shame acted in a way that went beyond that of Yefet, the midrash goes on to measure the repercussions of these acts and says, because Shem acted in the way that he did, and that he strived for this mitzvah even more than Yefet, his children received the mitzvah of tzitzit, a talit of tzitzit. In one version of the mitzvah, midrash, it says a talit shel tchelet, the blue color of the tzitzit. Yefet, for his part in the, we remember that Shem's children included the children of Israel. We are Semites, and the children of Israel have the mitzvah of tzitzit. Yefet, or at least the descendants of Yefet, who made war in Israel, or will make war in a later generation, in the war of Gog Umagog, Armageddon, Navi Yechezkel tells us that the soldiers of Armageddon, of Gog Umagog, will be buried. They will have a kvura. This is their reward for covering their father. Cham, on the other hand, when the descendants of Cham are taken into exile, it will happen that they are naked and shoeless. They will go barefoot. That is, they will have no covering. This comment about the repercussions seems to have to do with covering. A talit is a garment, it's a cover. Kvura is a cover of the body after death. Cham, who told the brothers, come look at our father while he's naked, did not receive any covering. He is going to be naked. I think that the distinction between talit and kvura as covering should be understood in the following way. The talit has tzitzit. The word tzitzit, Rashi translates in two ways. One is seeing. Tzitzit are to be seen. Lahatzitz means to glimpse, to see something. Tzitzit are also strands, peyot, strands either of material, they can be strands of hair. Tzitzit are things that we hold on to. The tchelet, says the Gemara, is the color of the ocean, and the ocean is the color of the sky, and the sky is the color of the kisei hakavod, of the holy throne of God. It's not exactly the same color. That is, it's reminiscent. If one looks at the tchelet, one may think of the ocean. If one thinks of the ocean, one may think of the sky. If one thinks of the sky, one may think of something beyond the sky, the color of the cobalt color of the kisei hakavod, of the holy throne. That is, interestingly enough, there are garments that cover. But there are also garments that make us look beyond the garment, that make us look towards he who commands us or gives us the right to wear such a holy garment. So there is one sort of covering that makes us look beyond. There's another sort of covering, the kvura, the covering of burial, which is simply to cover the body so that it won't be exposed, so that it won't suffer from denigration, from embarrassment. There is a tremendous difference between these two coverings and what they symbolize, and I think it has to do with how we look at Noach in this stage. And I would like to suggest that Noach, drunk, naked, rolling around in his tent, can be seen in one of three ways. And each of his sons saw Noach in a different fashion. Cham looked at Noach as he is now and apparently said to himself, "My father, who presented himself as a tzaddik, who saved the world, who spoke to God, what sort of man is this? This is disgusting. If Noach was really presently a tzaddik, he would never act in such a way." Noach is absolutely has jettisoned all of his merit, all of his good deeds. There is nothing to respect here. I can only see what is in front of my eyes, and what is in front of my eyes is worthy of no respect. There is only reticence on my part. I want to get out of here. I don't want to be in his presence. I just want to tell my brothers that our father is not who we thought he was. Another way of saying this is that the present erases the past, and in a sense erases the future. The present is what Ham relates to. Our father Noach at this moment is a dirty old man, and that's how Ham sees him. Another way of looking at Noach is, it's true, Noach is presently acting in a terrible way. He has really come down from the pedestal of tzidkus, of righteousness, which he occupied previously. But he was a tzaddik. He did save the world. I do have to give him respect for what he was. Maybe right now he's not doing anything worthy of respect, but I shouldn't forget his chuyot. I shouldn't forget what he once was. And there is a third way of seeing Noach. Noach at this moment, through the drunkenness, through the nakedness, is a righteous man. Noach is the man who speaks to God, who saved us from the flood. At this moment, he has had a fall, he's stumbled. So what? Many times people act in a way which is not, or does not measure up to their inner essence, to their essential ability to be a tzaddik. I believe that Shem was mitamed, strived so much for this mitzvah because he saw before him the Noach who was an ish tamim tzaddik, tamim bedorotav. He was the perfect Noach, the righteous Noach. The Noach in front of my eyes, that's not really Noach. That's just Noach who is disappointed, who is broken after the flood. Don't you know, don't you understand that the entire society that Noach knew before has been destroyed? Noach is a Holocaust survivor. Noach is one who saw his world destroyed. Can we blame him for a slight momentary fall? He stumbled. But the essential Noach is not what's in front of my eyes. Shem is able to see beyond what is in the present. Yefet also respects Noach, but he respects him not for now, but for what was. This is the difference between tzitzit and kfura. Tzitzit represents the ability to see beyond the present, to see beyond the garment. The Jew who wears the tzitzit represents the kisei hakavod, represents the divine spirit in this world. Because Shem was able to see beyond, he got the mitzvah of tzitzit, which teaches us to see beyond. Kvura is respect for the body. Kavod habriyot, respect for humanity. But is respect for the body, not because the body itself demands such respect. After all, the body will rot. The body will not be here. In a year, there'll be nothing here. We respect the body because the body was the receptacle for the soul. Because when the body was alive, this person was doing mitzvot, this person was zochet olam haba, this person was receiving the coming world. The body demands respect and deserves respect, but not for itself or its present situation after death. After death, the body is also a source of tumah. It's a source of impurity. But it deserves respect nevertheless because it was the home, it was the domicile of the soul. It deserves respect for the past. And Yefet respected his father for his father's great past, and therefore he merits kvura, which shows respect for his past. Cham, who could only relate to the present, who did not see the worth of Noach's past and did not see the ability for Noach to become again or to remain the Noach Tzadik Tamim, because Cham was unable to see it, Cham only has himself, he has no covering. He has nothing to allow us to see beyond his present defiled reality. When we look at an elderly person, it may be a person who suffers from dementia, from Alzheimer's, from someone who is not what that person was in the past. And we have to relate to that person when we have to relate to a crippled person. Sometimes a crippled person who was in an injury and who in the past was a vibrant human being and now is a vegetable or close to it, can understand us or not. How do we look at that person? There are three models of how to see the person who has lost status. There is the Cham model, the Yefet model, and the Shem model. The Cham model is, I see what's in front of me. What can I do? There's nothing to speak to, there's no reaction, there's no reason to give any respect because the one in front of me is, right, is not able to appreciate and not able to fulfill any of the expectations of that respect. There is the Yefet model that says, okay, the person in front of us is not in a status of that I can relate to, but I will give credit to that person for that person's past. And the third model is the Shem model, the model that says we do not look only at the outer shell, but we look at the inner being of an individual. The inner being is not changing. The inner being is always available. No matter what happens to a person, that person's entire life, that person's goodness, that person's inner soul is present. And we must see it. We have to see beyond the outer shell. This is true not only with old people, not only with crippled people. It's also true of people who act in an improper way. It may be true of people who have fallen from grace or people who never received it, people who have never really been able to live up to what we would hope would be a life of Torah and mitzvot. But there is an inner soul, an inner goodness. And if that inner goodness can be seen, can be observed, can be trapped, can be used to perfect, to develop, then maybe we will achieve something of the Shem model of looking at Noach And maybe we will be able to really be zocher to the talit tzel tzitzit, to the tzitzit that teach us to see those things that are beyond the normal present vision. Thank you.